Yeah, I'm like Neo now.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
That's Morpheus.
What's going on, everyone? Jurassic Views, Ottawa's Raptors podcast. Bryce Diamond, although this morning you can call me Miguel, a quick, compact episode to just touch on a few subject matters that deal with the Raptors, that deal with one of our players, I would say our best player, and to be able to talk about power rankings in the league, teams, and I'm even going to talk briefly. Again, this is the Miguel episode. I'm going to talk briefly about MVPs. We'll get deeper into a power ranking and MVP power ranking later this month. But I wanted to just touch on it because the All-Star game votes are starting to come in. Really, no Toronto Raptors are in the conversation. I think it's possible there could be a Raptor should we string a number of wins together. Like if we go 8-2, if we go 12-3 or 11-4, I could see one of our guys sneaking in. But we'll see. We'll see. Anyways, on a Raptors note, we are 3-1 since the trade. I believe the New York Knicks are 4-0, although I don't know about the fourth game. I definitely know they won three in a row. They absolutely beat down, like schoolyard beat down, the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly, which is very rare to beat Philly, but to beat them down at home is a big deal. So kudos to the New York Knicks, to OG Anunoby's new team. Precious even getting some minutes. I haven't seen Malachi yet. I know he's dealing with an ankle, but that's besides the point. The Raptors last night went into Chase Center, although it'll always feel like Oracle to me anytime we go in there. Because memories of lifting the trophy, of winning the chip, of having a ring, because we swept Golden State in their building three times. We closed Oracle, but it'll always be Oracle to me, even though it's called the Chase Center. I know it's in San Francisco rather than Oakland. I thought that was a mistake. But I'm not Steph Curry, and I don't know how good the facilities are. Apparently, they're incredible. We win it last night, 133-118. Even the loss to Sacramento, for sure, we started off slow. They were red hot. They hit 21 threes. But that was a very winnable game. And if it weren't for a bad call that the refs, or at least the NBA, admitted was a bad call by the officials, Emmanuel Quickley would have been at the line with 13 seconds to go to tie it with three free throws. And even if he just makes two, it's a one-point game. You foul, you get a chance to tie it up with a three. So what can you say? The Raptors were in that game. Sacramento had an incredible most threes this season. It's one of their, biggest three-point output nights in their franchise history. They also shot 56% from downtown. So that's something. And the Raptors just couldn't keep up. It was 135-130. And again, we were right there. And if the refs make the right call, Quickley's at the line. And I'll bet on that, to be honest. I'll bet on Emmanuel Quickley knocking down three free throws. Regardless, the Raptors, with the win against Golden State, improved to 15-21. As I said, 3-1 since the trade. And I need to talk about Pascal Siakam. I know Tom and I, we talked about Pascal Siakam and his importance to this team. But I just want to reiterate that since December 1st, 17 games, which is just about half the games of the season, Pascal Siakam is now shooting 42%. I would say we have enough stats, enough of a sample size that we can say Pascal Siakam's three-point shooting has been corrected. And although it was very frustrating, it was at times a bit humiliating to watch our best player brick three after three in the first half of this season. He is corrected. He is now shooting 30% from downtown for the entire season, but 42% behind the arc. He is not hesitating. He is back at his usual spiciness from behind the arc. Folks, Pascal Siakam has been talked about nonstop in trades. And I honestly don't understand why. Everyone says, well, you got to rebuild. You got to build it around Scotty. He's not within the Scotty timeline. First of all, what the hell is a Scotty timeline? This is not Marvel Comics. This is basketball. And you need vets, as we've seen in Memphis, on your team. Not just for the locker room, but on the court. Like, are the Boston Celtics saying, oh, Drew Holiday's cutting into Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum's ability to develop? No. Did we say that about Kyrie? Yes, not because he was a vet who is skillful. That's not why we were saying he was holding back the development of Tatum and Brown. We were saying it because he was toxic in the locker room. He was not a team player. He had his own agenda, which had nothing to do with the game of basketball for his team. It had everything to do with his frustration or his discontent with a franchise. So let's go down the line and do our homework before we start talking about holding back someone's talents, someone's development, because you're a veteran. And also, let's remember that Pascal Siakam's game, his whole like way of being is adjusting to things that are going on. He's done that with the Toronto Raptors time and time again. He's done that again this season. And not only does he do that, he succeeds in it. His whole game, he went from playing soccer up until a teenager to shifting to basketball. So he's had to adjust sports. Then because of his makeup, both athletically and size, Pascal Siakam's constantly adjusted to make sure that he not only is really, really good individually in one-on-one isolation type situations, but in a team situation. This guy is always trying to figure out, how do I best help my team? How do I, you know, navigate the advantages and strengths that my team have as well as my individual self when I'm in a defensive matchup or offensive matchup? What do I need to do to make this situation, you know, work out positively? That's his whole mode of being, his whole way of playing the game of basketball. So can we stop asking for Pascal trades? If it happens, it happens. And in Masai and Bobby, we trust, even though I've been very critical of them in the last 3 years, especially in an episode, probably about 3 or 4 episodes ago. But guys, Pascal Siakam is a top 25 player. There is no need to trade him. Extend him. Maybe not a max, maybe not a super max, but pay the man at least what Fred VanVleet got and move on. If it doesn't work out, if he's getting old and you can tell that he is, again, the man is only 29 years old, and we've seen KD, Jimmy Butler, many other guys perform at a high level into their mid-30s. We've got AD, who's 30 and injury prone, who is playing very good basketball this season again. So Pascal is not holding back Scotty. And Scotty's timeline is now. It's always right about now. What does he have to do? Not what is he going to do? We don't know that. What does he have to do now to become a better basketball player? And I'll tell you this. I know this for sure based on what I know of Scotty, the team, Darko, and Pascal in particular. Pascal Siakam will make Scotty a better player. So I'm just going to hold it there. I've got other things to talk about, but please don't DM me. Don't respond to me about, you know, the trade right now and Pascal needing to be on the trade block. Gosh, that frustrates me. Anyways, let's talk about power ranking, shall we? The NBA season has been a lot of fun already. We're 34 to 36 games in, depending on your team. And this has been a really fun season. We've had teams like Minnesota, Orlando, OKC that have shot out of the gate. Indiana's had a really good year. Some real surprises. There is talent. We knew that going into the season, but we did not see some of these catapulting type seasons that we've had from some of the teams that I've named, if not all the teams that I've named. The Eastern Conference is stacked. No one's really even talking about the Pelicans, and they find themselves in sixth place. The Clippers have been shot out of a cannon in the last 15 to 20 games. It's very, very exciting to see our team, to see these teams, to see this league, sorry, be as good as they are. There's teams that have fallen off a cliff, like the Golden State Warriors since their quick start. Like the Los Angeles Lakers, who lifted a trophy, lifted a banner with the in-season tournament. They won last night to kind of keep their season going and keep Darvin Ham's job. But I think we are quickly seeing that LeBron is taking over his GM role and his coach role. We'll see how that plays out. The Raptors play the Lakers next. But I've got to give you 10 teams, and I'll try to do this as best I can in reverse order. At number 10, we talked about them briefly, OG and Anobi's team, the New York Knicks, with at least three. I didn't look at the scores yesterday in the NBA to see if they were playing, but at least three games in a row since then. They are 20 and 15. They might be 21 and 15. I'll have to check. But the New York Knicks with OG Anunoby and still Mitchell Robinson out, not just out for a time with an injury. He is out for the season, which really sucks. But they've had Jericho Sims and Hartenstein come in, get the job done for that team. Really good to see. The New York Knicks are my number 10. At number 9, a team who just keeps surprising me. I keep thinking they're going to collapse or they're going to kind of come down to where I expected them to be in the 9 or 10 seed. The Indiana Pacers are my number 9 seed. Tyrese Haliburton, an all-star. Him and Brunson are really leading their clubs and might make all NBA teams if they keep this up. Incredible, incredible stuff. At number eight, the Orlando Magic. Again, like the Indiana Pacers, I keep thinking they're going to collapse. They have not. But they are my number 8 team. At number seven, and this might surprise some people, could have put the Miami Heat in this group, and they are definitely an honorable mention. Mostly injuries is holding them back from really being seen in the top 10 right now. And if I had done this pod last week, I probably would have put Miami in that group over a team like Indiana or the Knicks. But a week later, and the Knicks reel off 3 in a row, and Miami's been fine. You know, they beat the Lakers in LA. Really tough, hard nose game for Miami, kind of typical of what we expect. But they're not there. It's the Philadelphia 76ers, who for me are never real. They're always a bit of a facade, especially for the playoffs. But for the regular season, they're doing their thing. Tyrese Maxey and Joel Embiid have been outstanding. Definitely both in the top 15. You can easily argue that Joel Embiid is the MVP at this stage, and we'll get there in just a second. At number six, I've got to go with, and this may surprise some folks, the New Orleans Pelicans, who are just a sleeper team. They just find a way, they really, really do, to sneak in to this position, and they've been playing really good basketball. Just ahead of them, at number five, is the Los Angeles Clippers. Yes, they lost to the Lakers last night. I think it's their first loss to the Lakers when Kawhi is in the lineup. He was very pedestrian last night. Not entirely sure if he played the whole game. I just saw the score that the Lakers held on to, a 106-103 victory. And but the Clippers have played awfully, awfully good. They are my number five. I don't know who's going to the All-Star game from them. It could be two players, but certainly James Harden is looking like an All-Star right now with all these great Los Angeles or Southern California players around him. At number four, and it's a tie, so I guess there's 11 teams in this grouping, in this top 10 power rankings. But in at number four, it's a tie. It's the Denver Nuggets. It's the Denver Nuggets and the Milwaukee Bucks. Could be two teams are in the final this year, but for right now, they're number four. Don't have a lot of time, as I said, and we'll get into more details of why I believe that, but they are my number four. Those two teams tied for four. At number three, the Minnesota Timberwolves, who have been great this season, still holding on to the number one seed, sizzling in the West. They did lose to the Knicks last week, and they have not been as hot as they were. They are starting to show, especially in clutch situations, they are starting to show some predictability and vulnerabilities down the stretch of games. Where they're not being able to execute or defend in the half court, but they are still number one in the West, and you've got to give them the respect. At number two, the team who is just so much fun to watch, the team who is got so much youthfulness, even their coach is not even 40 years old, the OKC Thunder, led by SGA, the Canadian, who was crowned not Maple Jordan, although I think some people probably call him that, but who is crowned the greatest Canadian athlete this season. SGA and the OKC Thunder, Jay Williams playing exceptionally well as well. And of course, Chet Holmgren, who's going to be Rookie of the Year, kind of a Ben Simmons type Rookie of the Year. Although he's a second year guy, didn't play a game last season, got hurt in the preseason, season ending injury, but he has looked awesome. So the OKC Thunder, number two. And I would have put them at number one, and some people will say they should be. But the Boston Celtics have just been excellent. They have the best record in the NBA. And although they lost to the OKC Thunder in OKC, it was a close game. They came back. They still have some things I think they need to solve. But a really talented bunch, probably the best starting lineup in the NBA. The Boston Celtics are my number one. I'm only going to do five for the power rankings of the MVP. And people are probably not going to like some of these. I think it's clear that there's only five guys really who are in the conversation. An honorable mention for sure to the duo of that the Clippers have. Kawhi and James Harden have looked great, and I think they're great for each other, a great matching. And Kawhi has put up some great numbers, but they will be an honorable mention. I think you've got to give an honorable mention as well to Damian Lillard. He has been great, and they have been spectacular since a very slow start to the season. But they are not in the top five. In the top five, starting with the Bucks, is Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think he's still got more gears. I think he will be really, really tough and really, really good as the season continues. And watch out after the All-Star break. I think they'll go on a tear and he'll be deeper in the conversation. I think at number four, again, controversy. I think right now for me, and again, long season to go, but I think Denver's Nikola Jokic is my number four. I know he has won the award twice. He could have won it last year. He did not. But he is definitely right there. It is very close. It is a very close race. I think Denver, because they're kind of just cruising through the regular season, I'm not going to give it to them. And again, when you look at most valuable, they've got Jamal Murray beside them. So, you know, and they've got such a good starting lineup. So I'm going to hold off on Nikola leading the group, but he is in that top five, a very tight group of five. At number three, I am going to put Jason Tatum. An excellent start of the season. Of course, his team is number one. He is leading that number one team, and that is really good to see. But for me, Jason Tatum, you know, because his team is so good, it kind of hinders him. But that's kind of like what the award of MVP is. I'm sure that he'll be in that conversation. I'm sure that he'll be a front runner for many. But for me right now, he is not there. And I am going to say he is number three. Number two. Right now. And if you asked me 2 weeks ago, he would have been number one. Joel Embiid, who's having an incredible season. Shooting the hell out of the ball. 35 points a game. Ridiculous numbers. But for me, he is not number one. And maybe I'm biased, and I probably am. But when you think of most valuable player, if you took him off the team, where would they be? Yes, Philly would struggle. But they do have Tyrese Maxey, and they are a veteran bunch with a coach who's won a chip. So there's a slight, just a slight. And again, you know I'm biased, and I am honest with that. But there's just a slight difference. The MVP right now for me, if I had to vote today, is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He is playing with kids. Hell, he's a kid himself. And he is leading OKC to the tied for fourth in the NBA with the best record. He is playing out of his mind. And I just love to see it. And he is my number one in the MVP ranking. All right, y'all. I'm going to keep it there. Again, the Miguel episode. But love y'all. Hope you're well. Hope you're enjoying Raptors basketball. I know I am. And we'll catch up to you quickly. Peace.